Recruiting staff to work in essential roles in remote areas has always been challenging. But when the contracts being offered are short, with no guarantee of renewal, it's even more difficult to find the right people who are prepared to take on difficult jobs. That's the message from Anglicare WA, who are responding to concerns that we aired yesterday from former Balgo police officer in charge about what he believes has been a significant drop in counselling services over the past year. The non-profit group provides a youth wellbeing worker to live in Balgo, but the position was vacant for 9 months before being filled last month. Karina Cook, the Northwest Regional Manager of Anglicare WA, spoke to Claire Moody about the huge challenges of recruiting for mental health roles in remote communities.
We've been funded to provide a service in that community since July 2015, and we're very fortunate to have somebody in that role for a number of years. He left to go spend time with his family down south, and we then had another person step into the role for approximately 9 months. However, since that person leaving, we have had a nine-month vacancy that we had some difficulties in filling. Though recently, on the 1st of April, we appointed somebody to that role and they are currently working in the community. One of the challenges that we face in our funding environment is that our funding only goes for a certain amount of time. Sometimes it's a year, sometimes it's a couple of years. So when we employ our staff, we employ them in line with the amount of time that we know that we have funding. What often happens in these situations is we provide our staff members with a contract, say, for example, for a year, and they come to the end of that contract, they're awaiting finding out whether or not we're being refunded, and during that time they start looking for opportunities and other opportunities for themselves outside of their current work.
So why did it take so long then, you know, the 9 months to find someone else?
We advertised the position on three different occasions, and in this particular circumstance, we actually had a situation where there was two people who accepted the position. However, upon further reflection of themselves, decided that it wasn't right for them. We also advertised it a number of times because we really wanted to find the right person, and I'm a strong believer that there's only one thing worse than not having somebody in a role, and that's having the wrong person in the role. And that's amplified even more when you start going to remote communities. It's really important for us that that right person is not only viewed to be the right person through my eyes and through our organisation's eyes, but also through the eyes of the community. So our recruitment process for the person that we now have in Balgo involved the community and included the community. We actually flew her to Balgo. She spent a week in Balgo, and that was before she was made the offer of employment. We just wanted to make sure that the fit was right and also that she understood what Balgo community was like and what she was committing to.
What are the demands for people listening to this who may not have visited a remote community? What are the demands of a job, a role like this?
Yeah, look, I'm probably well placed to answer that because I myself started my career working in remote communities. I lived in Halls Creek for about 3 years and I provide services to Balgo during that time as well. I think one of the main things that we face is that often people that are applying for the roles that we're advertising in these communities, they're not from the community. So they come from often larger cities or larger regional centres such as Broome, and sometimes don't have a full understanding of the commitment that they are giving in their role. For myself and yourself, we do our work, we go home at the end of the day and we have certain things, whether it's our family or whether it's exercise or entertainment or whatever it might be, that allows us to have a life outside of our work. When you're living in a remote community, you work 24 hours a day. Mm. There's not a place to go away from your workplace. And that comes with some beautiful benefits for anyone that's ever had the opportunity to work in community. It's one of the most soul-feeding, wonderful experiences of anybody's career. But as we all do, there comes a time when you feel often that you need to be able to disconnect from the work that you're doing. And our staff don't have that opportunity in remote communities. We support them to travel whether it's back home or to travel to some of their major centres, making sure they're getting the training, the development and opportunities to speak to other staff. But at the end of the day, when they knock off, they're not walking along Cable Beach. They're not, you know, catching up with their friends. They're, you know, even things like exercise when it's 45 degrees and there's no facilities to do exercise. So our staff are really committing their whole life to these roles, and that's a big ask for anybody.
Can you talk about what the actual work involves, Karina? Do you know how the job operates?
Yeah, so the lady that we have in the job at the moment is a qualified counsellor, and we do provide therapeutic, particularly group work, looking at the needs of trauma and mental health for individuals in the community. What we find, though, is, and particularly, again, in community and particularly with young people, is the most important thing for us is to make sure that we are able to provide our service in a way that young people want to engage. And often that involves, you know, events, camping, getting out of town, going fishing, whatever it might be, in order to engage young people and have that opportunity to share education around mental health and awareness, and to build those relationships so that if and when those young people need one-on-one support, that those relationships are already formed. So I guess the role, it takes on a real community development aspect.
How much demand is there for her services?
There's approximately 350 people that live in Belgo, and there's not a lot of services out there. And I spoke about the challenges for our staff members around recreational activities, and that's just as evident for people that are living in the community. So we have a lot of demand. A lot of young people are really interested in just learning and seeing and doing different things. And a lot of young people also need that support.
So it sounds like a job for more than one person.
Absolutely.
Have you asked for more funding to do this work?
We are often advocating for funding across our region. And I think we're very fortunate to have had this position in Belgo since 2015. Some of our other funding arrangements, you know, they only last a year or two. Having more services in Belgo is important, but it's also important to make sure that that voice comes from the community. There's no benefit in a number of services getting funded, travelling out to community, trying to do what they want to do for a few months or a couple of years and then leaving. It needs to be from the ground up, and it needs to be responding to what the community is asking for and what the community wants to see.